It's the confluence where the news comes together on 90.5 WESA. I'm Kevin Gavin. Tomorrow will mark 2 weeks since a Pennsylvania grand jury released a landmark report detailing decades of child sex abuse by Catholic clergy. We're going to discuss the present-day repercussions of a horrible past with religion reporter for The Washington Post, Michelle Borstein. She'll be joining us momentarily. In studio with us, we have WESA social justice and identity reporter Virginia Alvino Young, along with Elizabeth Vasco, professor of theology at Duquesne University, and Ann Rogers, who is the general manager of the Pittsburgh Catholic. Welcome to all of you. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
Thanks, Kevin.
Good morning.
Your comments and questions are welcome. Tweet us at WESA Confluence or send us an email to confluence@wesa.fm. So there's been the shock, the horror, the anger. Pittsburgh Bishop David Zubik has apologized, has asked for forgiveness. But what else has he said or, more importantly, done? We're going to start with Virginia, then have all of you.
So Bishop Zubik would say that he's done a lot. In fact, every single thing that he could possibly have done, they've done everything right so far. Activists, of course, at every point would say that each one of those steps could be a lot more. So things like reviewing their reporting and prevention of childhood sexual abuse policies. They've done that, since the sort of height, the peak of these allegations. There has been more psychological testing of potential priests entering seminary, things like that. Bishop Zubik said they're not going to do non-disclosure agreements for survivors. But it's important to remember that even though there's evidence that the number of abuse has gone down, the allegations have gone down, that doesn't mean that they've stopped altogether. We have charges stemming from the Greensburg Diocese just from the last year, and also that there are a lot of survivors still out there every single day living with what happened to them.
Ann Rogers.
I'm here to talk primarily about our reporting and how we communicate
exactly
with the audience.
Because the Pittsburgh Catholic is what exactly, for people who don't know?
It is the newspaper of the Catholic Diocese of Pittsburgh. And so in that sense, we are hyper-focused on this diocese. We are not covering other dioceses in the report. And so my goal is to give the readers some of the facts that are necessary to interpret the grand jury report, while also stressing that the victims are deeply wounded, because as Virginia was alluding to, we know from, crunching the numbers, that 90% of the abuse in the diocese took place before 1990. So what changed? We're looking at what are the things that have happened that have reduced the amount of abuse that goes on. But I would never in any way, claim that, well, it doesn't matter because it was a long time ago, because the victims are still deeply hurt, and the bishop understands that.
Okay. Elizabeth.
Yeah, and as a theologian and ethicist, one of the things that I think I can help us think about is what can we do as a community moving forward? That is, while a lot has focused on the statistics and the numbers, I think one of the things that needs to be recognized is what sort of structural changes and structural injustices need to be acknowledged. And I don't know that that has been adequately been acknowledged by the hierarchy, as well as even in terms of the news cycle and reporting, that this really is a matter not just of individuals that maybe have done wrong, but in terms of a structural systemic injustice.
And when you talk about structural changes, right, that's something that inherently hasn't been changed within the diocese, because there's this inherent power dynamic, and that's not something that they're going to overturn. There's still this hierarchy. There's still this culture of great respect for these men of the cloth, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Anne.
I would put it, before I went to work for the Pittsburgh Catholic.
And you were at the Post-Gazette?
I was at the Post-Gazette, and before that, the Press. And for 25 years, I covered the issue of child sex abuse in the church. And I personally witnessed then Bishop Donald Wuerl fighting to change the system, making changes in the Diocese of Pittsburgh, such as starting the Independent Review Board and those types of things, but then fighting in Rome, leading the charge in the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops to change policies, to make it easier to remove these priests. And I did a lot of reporting on that, a great deal of reporting. And one of the things that's frustrating to me is not only does the grand jury report not reflect that reporting, but I'm not seeing secular news organizations go back and check the files and go, wait a minute, how does that compare and how does that fall into the context of these cases that are being reported? That was all public in the secular news organizations.
Elizabeth.
Yeah, and I really appreciate the reporting that you've done over time. I followed your reporting. And I think you're right in terms of the adequacy, but I think one of the things that what I was referring to is that the Roman Catholic Church in and of itself needs to be attentive to the own changes that it needs to make with regards to patriarchy and gender dynamics.
Okay. Joining us on the line now from Washington, D.C. is the religion editor of the Washington Post, Michelle Borstein. Michelle, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Sure.
So, Michelle, let's start with you this question. For us who live in the Pittsburgh area or any of the six dioceses covered by the investigation, we've been immersed in the story. But, Michelle, this has been an international story. What have you been focusing on?
Well, I apologize that I didn't follow the beginning of the show. I don't know if you talked about what happened in at the Vatican this weekend.
And no,
we were very focused on the grand jury report, and obviously in Washington, Cardinal Worrell is our local archbishop. But over the weekend, this expanded significantly with some allegations, related to how far up the chain in the church folks were aware of things related to abuse. So I think, now we're trying to figure out what way is this resonating for Catholics, whether it's the grand jury report that lands or the report about Popes Francis and Benedict that landed this weekend. What is it tapping into how Catholics, American Catholics in particular, feel? And my sense is that this, even though a lot of these things happened a long time ago, et cetera, 2018 is a different time. I mean, you have especially the internet, you have a culture that's fed up with institutions, et cetera. And I think that there's a sense of, anger and disgust that's pretty deep. These conversations going on for many years about, the role of lay people, however people see that, whether for some people that has to do with women, for some people that has to do with local power, et cetera. I think it's really these things are resonating so much is because it's tapping into a new generation of Catholics.
In the early 90s, when the report alleges much of the cover-up took place, Bishop Zubik was then director of the Office of Clergy. His boss was Bishop Donald Worrell, now serving, of course, as Cardinal Worrell, head of the Archdiocese in the capital. Michelle, what's been the reaction to now Cardinal Worrell?
Well, I think in Washington, I think he's seen as, it's not as small a community than that, Cardinal Worrell was from Pittsburgh. I think he had, roots there. He knew people, it was a different type of relationship. Washington is more transient. It's not as, it's not as deep local kind of feel as you have in Pittsburgh. So I think a lot of people view the Archdiocese as, they have a lot of praise for the bureaucracy of the Archdiocese. I think he's seen as having handled some things deftly, whether it had to do with turning over closed schools to the city, navigating some of the sort of partisan stuff that's, daily fare here, whether that has to do with when same-sex marriage became legal in the city or issue of Catholic members of Congress and their lives. Like, I think he's seen as sort of a moderate, effective bureaucrat, and not a culture warrior, which, I think for some people in this area, they appreciate because it's, already a lot of politics in daily life. I think they want to know, people, again, we're in an era where, every institution, whether it's, media, culture, Fortune 500 companies are being held to account. And I think people in Washington want to know what happened in Pittsburgh. We're certainly looking much more deeply into the grand jury report. And I think Catholics just they want to know more than ever, you know, what happened, who did what. They want transparency.
Final quick question for you, Michelle. There's been no comparable report in the U.S. Any similarities among abuse investigations in other countries?
Well, you have, I mean, other countries have been, there are some other countries that have already had, you know, their federal government look into the Catholic Church. I don't know if you mentioned this already in your show, but Australia is considered sort of the most prominent example of that. But you've had other examples in Ireland, Germany, Canada, to some extent, where they basically did, you know, like a Pennsylvania kind of thing, different versions. I mean, not exactly the same thing, but had the government look into the Catholic Church. And I think, you know, you have so much change in the last few decades. People, you know, the idea that the church should have to open itself to the government. I mean, I think there's many Americans that feel that way more than ever. On the other hand, you also have a culture where, you know, people are so distrustful of every institution, including the government. So I think it's kind of that's a challenging time for Catholics. They want transparency, but they don't know exactly where to get it.
Michelle Borstein is religion reporter for The Washington Post. Thanks so much, Michelle.
Thank you very much for having me.
So Cardinal Wuerl has had his name removed at his request, and Bishop Zubik commented on that from North Catholic High School. Are there any more structural, in terms of leadership, repercussions expected? There are calls from it by, I know, activists, people who have been abused, and their advocates. Is that possible? Virginia, what are you hearing?
I mean, the first thing that Bishop David Zubik said at the press conference immediately following the release of the report when asked by reporters was, no, I won't be resigning. Obviously, activists are making a call for that. But there's no sign of that happening anytime soon.
Hearing anything else, Anne?
Structural changes in the church are, you know, that's not where I work. But in response to what Michelle Borstein was saying on there and talking about the distrust that people have of all institutions, one of the things I've been doing is sort of asking myself, okay, if I was still working for the Post-Gazette or secular news organization, what questions would I be asking right now? And I have a long list, but there are just two that I wanted to mention. One goes to, there's one particular thing in the report that's aimed directly at Cardinal Wuerl, where it says that he wrote about a quote-unquote circle of secrecy, and they define it as this large, you know, confluence of behaviors that would cover up sex abuse. And both the Cardinal and Bishop Zubik have been unequivocal in saying he didn't write that phrase, and the person who wrote it meant just the opposite. So if I was a reporter, I'd be trying to find, like, who wrote it? What did they mean? And if it is true that that was an error in the report, how did that happen? Why did that happen? And then the other thing is, the report talks about, they're saying, well, we're not targeting the Catholic Church, but we found a conspicuous concentration of sex abuse cases in the church. So as a reporter, one of the first things I would be asking is, are there comparable studies of other child-serving organizations? How do you compare behavior that occurred in the church, in particular, in a particular period of time? How do you compare that with behavior in other child-serving organizations? And I'd like to see those.
Yeah, Elizabeth, and you're very familiar with efforts or at least calls for change in the structure in the leadership.
Absolutely. So one of the things that I would like to see happen or think needs to happen, and I actually started out my career working in churches in pastoral ministry, would be the need for sex positive and morally engaged discourse on sex, sexuality, and gender. Because I think one of the ways that we talk about sex and sexuality, it impacts how we understand sexual justice. And this is an issue of sexual justice or sexual injustice. Instead of having conversation about sex in crisis, which is what I think we're doing right now as a Catholic church.
I want to talk about the impact on victims, but impact also on the faithful. Virginia, you reported for Morning Edition today that some Pittsburghers are struggling with, I don't know, almost an identity crisis in the wake of these reports. How are they feeling?
To be clear, there's a huge range. There's a huge range from just the sampling of parishioners that I've spoken to, some saying what they've been saying for decades, really, since a lot of these allegations have popped up, or it's been made clear that they were there, to get over it, that we just need to move on, whether they think it's in the past or not. It's just not what they need to be focusing on. And we've explicitly heard that from people, right? We've explicitly heard, we're just going to pray about it. We're just going to turn our faith up to 11, and that's how we're going to address this problem. Like, the problem stems from here. We can resolve it here within our faith, within our institution. And then there are people that are really, really grappling. There's the whole other side of the spectrum that is, we are done. This is the end of the line. It's hit home for us. Not a penny more to the diocese, not another mass. I'm sorry, you know, to my daughter that isn't going to get their first communion. It's just, we're done. You know, some people are exploring other denominations. Some people are not. Some people don't even know what that would mean, because Catholic is such not just a religion, but so cultural and such an identity as well. And some people are just kind of in between. I spoke to one family who thinks of it as just taking a break, just kind of reevaluating where their moral footing is and what it would mean to continue participating in their parish. But ultimately, they would like to get back, but they don't know what it would take to get there.
Elizabeth and Anne, what have you heard from Catholics, whether they intend to sort of double down on their faith or start questioning at least faith in leadership? Anne, we'll start with you, then Elizabeth.
I mean, we get... The Pittsburgh Catholic gets a certain amount of feedback
right.
from people through channels that we all have. And I would say it's a mixed bag. There are people who are angry and hurt. And people should ask deep questions about that. I'm certainly not upset with anybody who is upset with what they read in the report. Many other people are... You know, we know what we go through at our parish to get background checked and trained, and our children get the Catholic vision of love, which for a number of years now has had at every age level age-appropriate help for children to help them, you know, understand when they're at risk and how to report it and those kinds of things. So it's mixed.
Elizabeth, what have you been hearing?
One of the pieces of conversation is there's been a petition around for the U.S. bishops to resign. It was started by Susan Reynolds, and I actually signed that. And one of the pieces of conversations has been, why did you sign that? And one of the reasons I signed that is because I have been in conversation, I mentioned ministers, with people who have been in ministry. And I signed it because I saw a number of ministers as being lay ministers, lay ecclesial ministers, people in parishes, sign that. And to do that is quite risky. It's to say, I'm going to risk my job. I'm going to risk putting my job on the line, risk getting fired, because I believe that this is so important. I'm so angry with this. I'm so upset. I believe this is such a strong wrong that I'm going to put my name on this petition.
All right. So, Virginia, I wanted to ask you that the report said, quote, as a consequence of the cover-up, almost every instance of abuse we found is too old to be prosecuted. It recommends a 2-year grace period to seek prosecution. That's a recommendation. Very briefly, wouldn't that require a change in state law, though?
It would definitely require a change in state law. This so-called civil window is something that activists are definitely calling for. And, you know, it's something that Harrisburg is currently considering. Representative Mark Rossi, he's a Democrat. He's got this real deal bill that's sort of on the table. But it's a little bit complicated. Not only is he going to face some real stiff opposition from some Republican leaders and also from the Pennsylvania Catholic Conference lobbying group. But some say suing retroactively could be unconstitutional. Also, there's a case to be made for the financial burden that it would place on the church and the diocese across the state if they were to be faced with this big flood of lawsuits. But also, it's very clear that a lot of survivors don't come forward until many, many, many years later. So it's very understandable why there is this big gap that we're seeing.
We have just 1 minute left. And so very briefly, I do want to remind people that Bishop Zubik will be live in our studios on Wednesday's program at 9:00. So 20 seconds apiece. What are you looking ahead to? What do you hope to find out? What do you hope to learn? And 20 seconds.
We just want to keep assuring our people that this diocese, that the diocese has worked very hard on this issue and are continuing to work on it. We'll be reporting on the bishop is bringing in a national expert to go over everything we do and make recommendations for what can be changed. So we'll be reporting on that.
Excuse me, Elizabeth, what are you looking to find out?
Solidarity, bringing forward the voices of those who are survivors.
And 15 seconds for you, Virginia.
Yeah, two things. Survivor stories. Each one is so similar in so many ways and so, so different and unique and personal in so many ways. And we hear over and over so many people say that the difference for me, this life-changing thing, was hearing another story that resonated with me. Also, looking at the diocese consolidation, what does that mean for not just the institution, but for the culture of the faith here in Pittsburgh?
Virginia Alvino Young is WESA's social justice and identity reporter. And Elizabeth Vasco is professor of theology at Duquesne University. And Rogers is the general manager of the Pittsburgh Catholic. Thanks to all of you.
Thank you.
And for today, that's The Confluence, where the news comes together on 90.5 WESA. On our next show, Super Bowl champion Rocky Blyer returns to Vietnam 5 decades after severe wounds almost ended his career. Today's program was engineered and produced by Kylie Kaczynski. Production assistance from Mick Stinelli. The senior producer of The Confluence is Megan Harris. Our executive producer is John Sutton. I'm Kevin Gavin. Until next time, hope you have a good day of good news.